Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jeannie Lee of Triple Crown Conjure in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, y'all will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, and then called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to be here today. Oh, what another week. Had a very complex week, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Life is complex, and many, many changes and many things happen. We're still working on cataloging the teacups, and, you know, that's good. And I want to give a little shout-out to the family of my friend Tiffany, who passed, and
I'm sorry to
and
hear.
Who we've been, these things, that's it. You know, but she's been a friend for a long time, and her family are lovely people. So a little shout out to Dan and to Ashley, and hope that they, you know, can walk through this in grace and beauty.
And amen.
So that's that, and I guess all I have to say is things here are hopping. And we got a lot of flowers blooming, and a lot of things, you know, really going right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy week this week. Interestingly, it has been the busiest week of the summer so far. I don't know what it was about this week in August, but for whatever reason, this was the most clients, the most readings, the most rootwork consultations of all summer. So it was a record-breaking week, and that is always good news for a tourist like myself. I've been keeping busy and enjoying staying out of the heat as much as I can because it's getting nice and warm down here in Southern California, and doing what tourists mm-hmm. do best, which is keep busy and get shit done. No time for anything else.
Well, you know, busy is good to a Taurus.
Yes, it is.
that's what it's all about.
We got to stay in motion. We got to stay in motion.
And, I see Papa G is in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give a little hello to Papa G. I'm going to tell you all, Papa G has applied to Hoodoo Psychics, and I do believe he's been accepted to Hoodoo Psychics. So
congratulations
Papa G. You're going to be one of us now. Deacon Millett, who is the owner and operator of Hoodoo Psychics, is glad to welcome you, and that's just going to be wonderful, having you as a member of Hoodoo Psychics. Now, I know Papa G has also sent in an application to AIR, but that's a more complex application because there's an interview process with a bunch of people. And but we got that scheduled, we got that going on, and I know that there's not going to be any problem with it because Papa G has been a good worker and a good person, and that's what we're looking for in AIR. And AIR is a directory listing of people who are all, you know, have a say in the matter, and we're gonna, we're all gonna talk to him. But he is in with Hoodoo Psychics, with Deacon Millett's Hoodoo Psychics, so that's good. Good.
Welcome.
Yay,
I'm so happy to welcome him as a colleague.
Yeah. Somebody who's really, really doing the right thing and has it going on. And Candela says, wow, how about the chat room? Candela says, I'm sending mine in this week.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Now, my attempt to try to talk like Candela leads us to say hi to our guest, Professor Porterfield. Professor Porterfield, can you channel Candela?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Oh, it's not bad.
And I do that with all love, brother. I ain't mocking you. I'm just having fun.
Professor Porterfield can sometimes channel Candela to the point that it just cracks me up.
Well, you were very skilled at voice, voice acting and mimicry. So I'm impressed. I've heard some other stuff. I particularly love some of the accents that you do. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm that's very nice to hear. It's something I've done since I was a kid, because I just became fascinated with, how the voice operates and what things. And I did a little stint in radio many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
it shows. It shows. We know that. Well, Professor Porterfield, it's a delight to have you here. Tell us how things are down in the great, thriving metropolis of Denton, Texas.
Well, things are simmering at about 100 degrees. So, yes. Oh, God. So, Conjure Man Ali, do not even approach. Don't even come near. I was 100 today. It was 100 yesterday. It was 100 before. So, as Texans always do, we like to see, can't we get 100 hundreds? And then when we do, we print T-shirts and we boast and we brag about that while I'm slowly melting. That's what's going on here. Otherwise, I have been blowing and going. It has been a week of work, a week of laughter, a week of tears. My grandsons are now starting to make little sentences, which is always fun. And I rushed to get here in time. I was in a beautiful conversation with my friend and colleague, Miss Aura LaForest. And let me say what a joy it was to talk to her and get to hear her little one coo and make his little noises on the phone as well. So I am doing lovely this afternoon and, as always, so very happy to be here with you two, my friends. And, of course, Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, and I'm going to say something over here in the chat room. I don't know if you were watching it fly by. We have a special request from Candela.
Oh, I did not see it go by. What has Candela?
Candela has put in a request for an appearance by Mississippi Tom Shillelagh.
Well, I don't know if he's here. Let me see if I can find him. Mississippi Tom, come here. I want to talk to you. Oh, hi! What is it? Oh, Faith and Begora. Is this the show, then? Are we on the show, then?
Yes, we are.
Hello there. Oh, Catherine. It's such a joy to hear your voice, lass. And is that the great and powerful countryman Ali there? How are you doing? It's me, Mississippi Tom Shillelagh. I was over here visiting the professor from home in Macon, Georgia, where I normally hang out there, And I just thought I'd stop by and listen to the radio show with him a wee bit. You know, he's an all right lad, but he variates a little too much. He gets off onto all that Jewish hoodoo, and I'm trying to lure him back into the Irish hoodoo, you know, and the more traditional work that we do there. And it's like my mam used to say. She used to say, you know, when Irish eyes are smiling, you know the mojo bag's tied right. So I just want to take a look. You want the mic, Bob's? Oh, the lad wants the mic back. I'll give the mic back to him there so he can talk. Well, may the road meet you on your path, and good day to you all there.
All I can say.
We needed that. We needed the Irish hoodoo.
Yes. I happen to find the Irish accent to be one of the sexiest accents that there is.
Oh my God, you're turning gay. Oh my God, Ali's turning gay now. He's fallen in love with Mississippi Tom Shalady because his accent was so sexy. Now we have to have gay hoodoo. Oh,
I know.
Oh, help,
I'm not so sure about Tom Shalady being my type, but I've just got to say the Irish accent, though, is very sexy.
Oh, no,
I don't know what it is.
It's
about
all
it.
Spinning around now. It's all spinning around in the great centrifuge of life.
Life is always fun.
I'm sorry. I just need to laugh.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy, Mississippi Tom Shalady.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he's a problem. I mean, you know, he comes in my house and it's a pain in the ass. It's just, you know. So, but
he's not a good guy.
Not a good. Well, he's an okay guy, but you know, he breaks stuff up and stuff. So whatever. Oh well. So a wink and a nod. A wink and a nod there.
Well, I'm sorry. We just had to go through that. Like I said, we need a good laugh. And between all of these different forms of hoodoo, I'm just going to say that, you know, Minati Wilson, who is a nice woman, very smart woman, said something today. She started the hashtag, No More Hoodoo Cosplay. Isn't that a great hashtag? No more hoodoo cosplay.
It's about time we don't play hoodoo. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Jellyfish Rising is meanwhile advocating for Arabic hoodoo.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. No more hoodoo cosplay. I really like that. Miss Michael says, I'm going to use that hashtag. I like it a lot. Not just to make fun of people who are rewriting history before our very eyes, but also to honor and respect people who need honor and respect. Just, you know, bringing it down to that.
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I laugh first and foremost at my own silly self.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I do a lot of silly things. And so if you can't laugh at yourself, if you can't just take a moment of fun, oh, well, I feel sorry for you. Nothing was meant in offense, just having a little laugh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, that's the key to life, right? If you can't laugh at yourself and you can't laugh at the circumstances and you can't have fun, then you've got a chip on your shoulder, right? That's no way to go through life. You've got to be able to laugh these things off.
That's right, and you're certainly not putting your best foot forward.
That's right.
He's
well, dead. You know, as the ages roll, people are going to listen to this conversation, and they go, that flew right by me.
That's right.
All right, let's go to our panel discussion. Professor Porterfield, as always with our guests, from AIR has brought us a discussion topic, and as I understand it, it's going to be basically, we're going to call it socks and shoes, or maybe shoes and socks, in hoodoo. In other words, this is going to be about, we've talked about some of the more, the deeper and more edgy things like skulls in hoodoo. This is shoes and socks in hoodoo. And
great topic.
And feet on the ground. So I'm going to just, as usual, say a few words of introduction. Foot track magic is characteristically African. Oops, I forgot about those Irish people. Oh, well. Foot track magic is characteristically African. There is foot track magic to be found in every form of folk magic, but the predominance of it, as opposed to isolated instances of it, is African. Dr. Johannes, has shown some great Swedish trolldom folklore that uses foot tracks, usually to stop people from having successful hunting. But in African-American hoodoo, the use of foot track magic is much more widespread. It's used for everything. It's really a way of doing contact magic. And you'll also find it, interestingly enough, in Jamaican Obeah, which again has an African root to it. And the idea that the objects laid or thrown are contacted by the feet. In fact, that's why a lot of people use the term throwing for you. Well, you're throwing because they're going to step on it. A lot of the use of dirts and powders comes out of the foot track magic, but not everything that's done in hoodoo is foot track magic. However, in addition to the foot tracks, there are many, many, many spells in hoodoo that involve socks and shoes. Things put in the shoes, things made out of socks, things put into socks, powders and dusts are very common. I'm going to give you just a kind of a brief outline of what I see as the sort of territory, and then we'll turn Professor Porterfield loose on this. In the use of foot tracks, I was taught early on that you can actually use a person's foot track as a personal concern. You can go out there with a pancake spatula and lift their foot track. So I began talking about that. I've never had any trouble lifting people's foot tracks. It didn't seem a problem to me. But in the 90s, when I first began writing about it, I'd get all of these, excuse my French, white people who were like, how do I get their foot track? I can't. And I'd say, gee, didn't your mom ever teach you how to get someone's foot track? Well, the way to get someone's foot track is you invite them to walk on dirt. and if they won't, if there's no dirt around, you go someplace where there is a lawn, but you sprinkle a little dirt in the grass, and then on the sidewalk, as if the gardener had, cut up some dirt and it got their foot track will get caught. You can go back and scrape their foot track dirt up off a brick path or a concrete pathway in a park. You've got to think about these things. I mean, they would say, well, can't I just, like, wash where they walked on sidewalk and just take the wash water? Not really. That's not their foot track dirt. So a hoodoo is what it is, and it uses what it uses. But having said that we work with foot tracks, what do you do with those foot tracks? Well, you can take them home, and you can make things with them. You can also use powders and stuff to lay into people's foot tracks. That's the opposite way of doing it, either cross their tracks with something bad, call their name into it, or make them come in a certain direction by dropping powders along their customary paths and then deviating so they have to come to your house or whatever it might be. So that is foot track magic. But now we're going to talk about socks and shoes, which is the really, more than just the track, socks and shoes. So take it away, Professor Porterfield.
Thank you, Ms. Kapp. The first thing I would like to say is that a lot of people say, I've never heard of anything like this, okay? Or I have no relationship to this. This has never impinged upon my cultural consciousness. And I would say, well, maybe you weren't paying attention, because even within the realm of mass media or large-scale media events, we have seen an example of foot track magic, which then, of course, relates to shoes because of leaving the track and the feet being the means through which, if you step in that stuff, it gets up into you. How? It comes up through your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the example I would give of this in a large cultural event would be, some of us remember when Alex Haley started serializing his book Roots through Hugh Hefner, and then eventually actually published his book Roots, and then eventually it was made into a multi-part, multi-night television event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watched that, as most of us did, you'll probably remember there's a scene where later in life, Kunta Kinte and his wife's daughter is sold off from the plantation there on. And his wife is absolutely distraught, and he immediately runs back into their little shack, and he gets a little jar, and he runs out, and he starts scraping up the daughter's foot tracks and putting them into the jar so that she'll come home. And he assures his wife, she'll come home, she'll come home. And she, of course, derides him and says, oh, you're foolish and whatever, this African magic of yours, all right? And, of course, in the story, she eventually does, but as an elderly woman. Now, so that's just one. This has impinged upon your consciousness, whether you knew it or not. It was there. And we were all taught to take care of our shoes, to put our shoes together at night, and all the little things that we've learned in our lives. I like to think of this as shoe superstition. but what's interesting about shoes is that they do not just relate to travel. We see a lot and axe being used with shoes and shoe prints to get someone to go away, to keep someone away, to bring someone back. And that all, of course, relates to, well, travel and walking. And, of course, you know, for the longest time, long before cars and automobiles and buses, well, how did you get someplace? You walked on your own 2 feet, right? Most people did not own a horse, all right? But there's an interesting thing about shoes is that they have a very direct relationship, as do socks, to sexual matters. And so we see, as an example, advisement that if you would like, if working girls in a house, if they want to draw men to the house, they will burn men's shoes. All right? Also, of course, as Madam Nadia, thank you, Madam Nadia, just said in the chat room not too long ago, who all here has two socks tied together under the bed? And admits that she does. And the very, very old work there to take the two socks, one of each of the couple, and tie them together and keep that under the bed to keep them drawn there. But we also have some very interesting things about how you can take the insole of your wife's shoe, all right, and you can keep it and have a rag that you have, quote, wiped her with, and I think some of us understand what that means, and tie those together and write on it, I don't want no man to take her away from me or give me no trouble about her, and keep that hidden from her, and she will never be able to get away from you. She will always come back to you. You can also take a bit of bedcloth that you've slept with a man on and wipe with it. Again, there's that. And stick that in the toe of your shoe, and he won't leave you. All right? Or the very, very famous one, and one of the ones that I still advise on, is to get his handkerchief and stick it in his left shoe while you're having sex with him, and then bury that handkerchief under your house or in your backyard in the morning, and he will keep coming home. So there is this relationship between these stockings and these socks and these shoes and sex, the bed, and travel. And so it is a way to gain fidelity. It is a way to gain attraction and to keep, you know, your lover, your husband. But also, we have that if you catch your woman running around on you and you see that man leave your house, you take three nails and drive it into the heel of his footprint, where his heel would be, and then he can never come back onto your property. He can never come back. So there is a relationship here between that, and I find that very interesting. Is there what has been your experience with shoes and socks, Ali?
You know, I love this topic quite a bit because I ask clients that if they can't find any other personal concern, I love working with socks. You know, people go, what type of personal concern should I send you? And I'm like, if you've got a used sock, someone's worn sock, send that to me because it's a powerful link. And like Kat said, this is very directly tied to West and Central African magic, the idea that the soul can be accessed through the feet, and the shoes and the socks both represent symbols of the feet and the link to the human soul. I love the idea of scraping shoes, putting powders into shoes themselves. It's a great way of laying out magical dust and powders. You know, rather than lay them out on the carpet, you put a little bit in someone's shoe and they're going to be stepping into that perpetually. So I love that. One of the most simple ones that I learned a long time ago is that wives, when their husbands would come home, would always make sure that the husband's shoes are pointed inwards towards the house so that he's always coming back. It's a simple little working thing, something very simple, but it always was the second the husband comes home, he kicks his shoes off, usually haphazardly, and he goes off to do his thing. The wife comes over, turns his shoes so that they're facing inward, and that's to continue to keep the husband coming back. So I love this type of working. It's old school, and I have found in my personal experience, it is very, very effective. There's this interesting idea. When I do work, I like working, I call from both angles. I work on the mind, so I'm like, send me a little bit of their hair so I can get them thinking about you. Send me their sock, and I'll get them to walk towards you. Because, you know, the foot, shoes, and socks, it's all about action. So I could see its connection to sex, to love, to movement, to travel. Because it's about getting someone to do something. Versus
and, you know, then you've got... And then you've got your hand on their head and under their feet. But, you know, I have to say very much about what you mentioned about the turning of the shoes inward by the wives. I was taught that a wife can bury her husband's shoes in the front yard, which is unusual because normally we hear about the backyard. Front yard, not so much, but she can bury it in the front yard, but with the toes of the shoe, just like you were saying, pointing towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you will never leave, and he'll never leave you. He'll never leave you as long as you have his shoes, toes pointing towards his door.
Yep.
I've had the same taught to me a slightly different way when I was young. If you go to have sex with a man, he's going to take his shoes off. And when you know, you're in the heat of the moment, gosh knows where the shoes are. But if he's going to stay overnight, he'll usually take his shoes off by the bed, turn his shoes, and point them with the toes under the bed. Don't ever let his shoes be pointed away from the bed, because he'll leave you first thing in the morning. But if you keep the toes pointed under the bed, then you get up and make breakfast for him, have him stick around a while. That's just another version of the same thing. I'm going to tell you another one that I know that's really good, rolling a sock. I was taught this by a number of people, and I was very pleased when I got older to find that Harry Hyatt had collected the same thing many years before I had learned it. And that is, when if you had an argument with somebody and you don't have time for anything else, I mean, they said, I'm out of here, and they walked out the door, you run and grab their socks, and you take their sock, and you sit in the bedroom with the open end of the sock toward you and the toe of the sock pointed out the bedroom door, because that's where they went, right? And you roll the sock back toward you, tight. You just roll it up really tight. Come back, come back, come back, come back. You roll, roll, roll. When you get it all rolled up tight, you just sort of spew it out again like a little... You know, like one of those little blowers that a little tongue comes out. Whoop, goes it go. Roll it back. And I was told you can roll that, you know, just keep on rolling that sock. They will come back as long if you do it. It may take an hour. You might have to roll it for quite a while, but they'll walk back and they'll say, I'm, you know, whatever, I'm back. And they'll come back. But it's a very kind of like emergency, triage type situation. That's what you do. You roll their sock. And it doesn't matter which is left or right, but usually people will say the right. Now, another one that I know is put a penny in your shoe. Now, a lot of people put a penny in their shoe to walk toward money. And when I was a kid, they even had these things called penny loafers. And in the black community, attention is paid to your shoes. How shiny they are, what they look like, are they good-looking shoes, are they comfortable shoes? Comfortable shoes is often a veiled put down. Oh, those look like comfortable shoes. because what you want to have are sharp shoes. And those penny loafers were very popular, and I always sort of took that as sort of like, wow, somebody picked up on that and sent it into a nationwide fad. But I was also told you could put a dime in your shoe. Same thing, and the dime will protect you. And that brings us to the ankle string with the dime on it. A silver dime protects against being hoodooed. So in the modern times. I mean, again, we can show you photos of black people with diamonds on strings around their leg. In fact, our good friend Kai Armand was using that as his Facebook avatar image for a while. It's a photo taken by Nubel Niles Puckett in 1924-25. And Kai used that as his image. Here I am. This is it. But you know, I grew up in the 60s in Oakland, California. Nobody was wearing a silver dime around their ankle. There, they would have been called geechies or something if they did that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they put a dime in their shoe, and I was showed how to take duct tape and duct tape that dime in your shoe so no one knew it was there. And you put it in the toe of your shoe, of your boxed shoe, you know. So that's how we did it. All right. Well, we've talked over time, but I, you know, let's give it one more round. You got another one? You got?
I was just going to mention that the idea of putting stuff in your shoe is, and this is what I love about this topic, is it shows how practical, how simple, and how straightforward voodoo is, right? I mean, the idea of just rolling the sock towards you, that makes perfect sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of walking on things is one of the things that's great about voodoo, and it isn't talked about as much anymore. You know, you talk about candle magic, and you talk about these other things, but, for example, love magic, one of the great ones is put a violet leaf, you know, in your shoe. The other one is a goal. Let's say you want to get a job or you want an apartment or something. You put that on a piece of paper, you put in your shoe, and you walk right towards it. Or if you want to walk over someone, you put their name in their shoe. So there's a lot of great things you can do with putting things in your shoe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's true. I just raised opened a little box, and a word popped out, and everyone's like, what? Geechee. Geechees and gullahs are people who mostly live in Georgia, Sea Islands in Georgia.
Yeah.
But the word Geechee actually appears even as far as Mississippi, sometimes spelled Geechee and pronounced Geechee or Geechee. There's a famous blues singer named Geechee Wiley. And the Geechees and the Gullahs are African names. In fact, Gullah is probably related to the word Angola, which is the current name of an African nation. But it was a term, and when I was young, it meant country. It meant you were from the country. I had a friend, even as recently as in the early 2000s, we had a lady working in the shop named Sherelle, and she was from Chicago, and she was talking about women with hair that was more nappy or kinky or uncontrollable or not. They didn't do something with their hair. They didn't straighten their hair. They were said to be Geechee. It meant country, but also it meant African. You were very African-like. And she would always laugh, and I would tell her some little trick, and she goes, "That's so Geechee. Got a bone in your nose." Now, what she meant by that was it was straight from Africa, from stereotyped images of Africa. And she grew up in Chicago. I grew up in Oakland and in Berkeley. And the idea there was that you didn't want to show your roots, as it were. So sorry for the side trip. I just used the word Geechee, and a lot of people don't know what that means. But it's not a bad word. Actually, Geechees are proud people. Gullahs are proud people. Geechee Wiley was probably the best woman blues singer after Memphis Minnie, or of an equal stature to Memphis Minnie. So Geechee is not a bad word, but it was used when I was a kid to mean, you know, along with your comfortable shoes, you know, if you talked about doing something, if you talked openly about doing things, that's so Geechee, don't do that. That's Geechee. South Carolina, Jellyfish Rising says, same term, Gullah Geechee is used in South Carolina. But it wasn't, you know, it was never meant to be mean. And the Geechee people really are a great, proud people. And I have to say, too, it just was when I was a kid, it just meant country. All right. That's kind of meaning urbanized. All right.
And around these parts, they just say country.
That's right. Well, country is another way of saying it. Right. Well, you know, that reminds me of that song that was popular. That song, Tramp. You remember that song? Tramp.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about his brogan shoes. I mean, it was all about your shoes and whether you were a tramp and whether you were from the country. There was a lot of, you know, talk about that way. So Madame Bijou asked, what's gullah? Gullah is just a similar word. Gullah, like I said, relates to Central African Congolese. And it is probably from the same root that the word Angola is from. Also, there is a town in Louisiana called Angola, excuse me, in Mississippi. Is it Angola, Mississippi? Yeah, I think it is. Or is Angola, Louisiana?
So.
Yeah. Where there's a prison. And again, so the word Angola was entered into the U.S. As referring to that African place.
Yes, the
All
word
right.
farm is, in fact, at Angola, yes. Anyway.
Right. So, that kind of stuff is just, you know, hangs around in our language, okay? All righty, well, we're going to go on to doing our readings, but this has been fun, and sorry for the digression there about Geechee and Gullah. We could actually have a whole long talk about that. But the Geechee and Gullah people can be found all around the South, not just in one place. Like I said, people from Mississippi would also be that way, and people from Chicago used the term, and people used it in Oakland when I was a kid. All right, and shoes and socks, I think we could probably do a whole nother, just, you know, name your 10 favorite shoe and sock spells. I'm going to say one more before we go, which is use a sock to make a doll baby. We all know what sock dolls are, right?
Yeah.
Make a doll baby out of a sock. You got something real powerful there. Okay.
And I will say very quickly about the issue of the dime around your ankle. Remember, folks, when it turns black, you've taken a hit.
Oh, right.
That's
the
reason you're wearing silver.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is right. I think everyone's heard all this stuff so many times before. But thank you for saying it. Yeah. Okay, and everybody look up Geechee Wiley, the musician. You can find her stuff. Eagles on a Half, Last Kind Favor. That was a tough lady. All right. All right, let's give it over to Miss Tammy Lee. She's going to bring us in some readings to do.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, we have about 55 minutes remaining in today's show and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali, and this week's very special guest, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from Atlanta, area code 828, Atlanta, Georgia. This is Sarah. Sarah, are you there, caller?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for reading the post, actually, since 2009. I read that in your little synopsis there, and for listening to the recent broadcast in iTunes. We appreciate that so much. And she writes, my boyfriend's sister has a history of mental illness, suicide attempts, and alcoholism, and is currently living with us. We have provided her with everything she needs to get back on her feet, and she is getting professional counseling and medical treatment. But she is mean and unkind to us, with volatile personality swings, and makes the whole house feel dark and depressing. She is unemployed and looking for work and can't move out until she gets a job. I would like the insight on when she might be getting a job and moving out, and guidance on how to remove the depressing energy from the house when she does. Turning it back over to you.
Wow. All right. I'm going to ask something here. Your boyfriend wants this woman, the sister, to move out. That's what you didn't mention that. Does he want her to move out?
Correct. Yes. She.
Okay.
She
so you're not going to create a problem. I just want to make sure you're not going to create a problem. You know, it's not you against him against her. It's the two of you are united.
Not. No.
Okay.
She,
I understand.
And I do have an update. Just this Friday, we found out she got a job. So that has been like 2 months.
Okay. So that
question's
gone. Yay.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
You know, it's funny that you say, I'm going to tell you something. It's funny that you say that because I was going to do the first reading. The first card I had was the Ace of Pentacles. And I was like, oh, well, she'll have a job real quick now. Hey, I won. There's card number one, Ace of Pentacles. That was it. And we'll just let go of that. It's good and it's what it is. So let's just talk about what can be done to remove the negative energy of her. And here's the thing. I know it can be a trial and very trying to be around someone who's mentally ill. There's that part of you that says they must know what they're doing. They must know how much trouble they're causing, but they don't. And otherwise, they wouldn't be mentally ill. So I shuffled again. I was going to put the cards away and then because I was done, right? And the next one is the Eight of Cups. She will be wandering off, yeah. Okay. All right, I'm now done. Oh, no. And I put the cards, cut them again to put them away, and the third card is the Empress. All right, that's your house. Okay, that was a weird reading. I sometimes just read in spite of myself, you know, just flip them and look at them. All righty. So let's just go directly to what can be done. First of all, you want to do some sort of house cleaning. The Empress kind of shows us some of the way here. The Empress is a card of a woman who is above a queen. She's really in charge of the place. The lady, when she leaves, may take something. That other card was with the cups. It shows a person sneaking off who may or may not have stolen a golden cup. If she does, let her go. Give her what she needs to be set up to go. If you have spare Tupperware, give her the spare Tupperware. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Just get rid of whatever she needs, but be prepared she might take a little. That card is definitely a card of taking.
Okay.
Now, the Empress, though, is about letting the light in, working for the good, for the betterment, and it also includes that little mention of food in it because it has grain at the base of her card, and the grain always represent. What'd you say?
Oh, I just said okay.
Yeah, okay. So the grain always represents food. And that puts me in the mind of an old custom used by many different people. When you want to move into a new house, what you do is you buy a new broom, you sweep the place from back to front, clean it out, and you can also wash it down. Chinese wash is usually used for that. And then you eat bread with salt on it. And it's a new loaf of bread. You can buy it on the way to the new house. Now, this isn't a new house. You've been in this house, but you're basically going to do a little house cleaning. And I would get a loaf of bread and just eat a little, you know, clean after you clean up the house, do that. But you might also give her a little present. If she goes to her new house, give her a new broom. Give her a loaf of bread with salt and say, you know, maybe you be blessed. Here you go. Give her a little gift basket with some cleaning products for herself. And you've done right in God's eyes. You've blessed her with something, but you've also gone home and blessed your own house. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and I would actually treat it by buying my own house a new broom. In other words, I would clean up after myself. Why? We were just talking about socks and shoes, footprints.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to get all her footprints off that land, sweep them all away, even to sweeping the lawn, if there is a lawn. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Sweep it all. And now,
sorry.
Well, okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, it is such a blessing that she has a job, but this is about the third time this has happened in 2 years that she's had an episode with either a suicide attempt or some kind of major setback and decline and has then gotten a new job, a better job, had it for about 15 to 17 months, and then loses it. And,
well, honey, I can't. Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I can't help you with that if you keep on letting her back. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What you asked was a real specific question. 15
yes,
to 17
ma'am.
Months, let her get her own house. If she comes back again, you're going to have to deal with that again. You want to bar the door or not? If you want to bar the door, use Barberry. But let's not borrow trouble from the future. We got plenty of trouble here today. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
We're just going to go with the moment. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So. All right, let's turn this over to Professor Porterfield. What would you say, hon?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. While I was, this was coming down the pike, and I was preparing also to be the second reader, but we don't need it now. I have to tell you what I got here, and I think this relates, is this is from Numbers 12 that I was guided to. is that it speaks about when the cloud departed Miriam. Now, who is Miriam? She's the sister of Moses. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly became leprous, as white as snow. And then Aaron turned, who is also his brother, towards Miriam. And there she was, a leper. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned." Okay? And then the point of all this is that Moses then says something, and it's what I want to guide you to as a piece of work to aid in your house. So let me ask you a very quick question. How does your boyfriend feel about spiritual matters, spell work, magic, all that?
Well, he is atheist, so I think he just thinks that I have this kind of interest in it, but he's not into it.
All right. Well, that's fine. It would have been better if we could get him to do it, but we can get you to do it anyway.
I know.
There is a very, very potent prayer in the Bible. And in fact, it is the Bible's shortest prayer. Of all the prayers ever uttered in the Bible, it is the Bible's shortest prayer, and it happens right here. Aaron goes to Moses, and he says, "Oh, no, she's been struck with this thing, and it spreads," okay, like the depression spreading in your house, all right? And he says, healer, she's leprous, she's turned white, and Moses simply says, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." That's it. "Please heal her, O God, I pray." It's the shortest prayer. So what I would suggest to you is two things, because, again, as we've pointed out, we don't really need the reading now. What we need is work. So you're going
right.
to get three levels of root work here. Here you go, man. Today is the day for you. The first thing I would say is I like to use camphor. I like camphor, all right? I like the smell of it. I don't know if you do, but to me, camphor is very cleansing. It helps. Mm-hmm. I would get a hold of some camphor blocks. Some people call them camphor tablets. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're little squares of camphor.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but
I could Google it.
Well,
yeah,
you can buy them from Lucky Mojo. The sponsor
of
the show, actually,
That's
we sell
right.
them. And they come
That's
four
right.
to a pack. Mm-hmm.
That's four right. Pack. Four to a pack. You also use them to keep moths out of your closet. Okay. And what you'll do is you'll take one of these and break it into pieces, and you will put a piece in every corner of the room, all right? Now, in particular, you want to do that with your bedroom. Take one of these, break it into five pieces, put one in each corner and one under your bed, like that five spot on a playing card, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, in this case, because we've been led to this, I would advise you to use the Bible's incredibly short and incredibly potent prayer. Please heal her, O God, I pray. To aid her, okay, get her out of the house, and to seal off your bedroom. Many of us, that's the last place we can go is our bedroom, right? That's where we sleep. That's where our clothes are. That's the room you definitely want to have that air of depression and that air of worry and all that you're talking about taken out of. And just take that camphor, put it in the four corners and a piece under the bed. Some people like to put them on a little dish or on a little piece of paper towel because the camphor, as it sublimates, it can leave a little bit of a residue. It's nothing I mind, but other people like to put it on a dish or a piece of paper towel. Or you can put it on a little tiny piece of tin foil. But if you put it on a little piece of tin foil, please put it on the shiny side, not the dull side.
Okay.
All right? And that's what I have to say to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Glad to help.
All right. Let's turn it over to Ollie and see what he has to say.
You know, in a situation like this, you've gotten great recommendations by both Ms. Cat and Professor Porterfield. The only thing I would add is, I actually like working with eggs and salt in something like this. Salt has one of those great effects that it does what you want it to do. And it can help remove without, you getting any aggressive and we're not looking to hot this person or anything like that. But a pinch of salt put in her shoes and aiming those shoes away from the house, pointing it towards the door, talking about shoe magic, will be a great way of getting her to start going and leaving. The other thing that I would recommend is keeping an egg out. Eggs are really good at absorbing negativity. Just like camphor is at cleansing, eggs really have a great way of drawing out negativity. And so you can keep an egg in the house, you can keep it by your bedside, whatever, wherever you want it, right? You just need to leave it out all day, okay? So that it draws out the negativity. At night, I want you to write your name on the egg and take that egg to a river. You're going to toss it over your shoulder and walk away. These are mild ways of getting people to kind of move on. It helps to kind of cleanse and draw out the poison that's in the house and send it on its way. It's not hot-footing. It's not aggressive. It's not aimed at crossing her up, because hot-footing is a form of crossing people up, right? But it is a good way of saying, all right, it's time for you to take your nastiness and go, right?
Yes,
so take that egg, write her, you know, leave it out all day, write her name, and you can do it every single day. You could do it once a week. However many times you need to do, you keep repeating it until she goes. And every day she comes home, just a small pinch, a couple grains of salt in her shoe, and point the shoes away from the house towards the door, okay?
All righty. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Great, great. And in the chat room it was asked, is this a raw egg or a cooked egg? And, of course, we all know, and we might as well say it, raw egg.
Great piece of work, Holly.
Yeah, very nice. All right.
Very nice.
So you can also, you know, raw eggs are used for all kinds of cleansing. You can read about egg cleansings and learn a lot more. They're used in many, many ways. All right, we're going to give this to Miss Tammy Lee. She's going to bring us our next reading client.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, AIRR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is actually calling back in and had been on the air with us in June of 2012. This is Chris calling in from 757 Virginia. Chris, are you there, caller?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for being a loyal listener. And I see that you wrote that in your notes as well. And I'm going to go ahead and bring our host up to speed and also remind them that you had had a private reading. You did indicate something that I believe I'm understanding correctly, that you had had a reading with Miss Kat, and might be a client actually of Miss Kat since 2006, okay? And she writes, I recently stopped talking to someone I really liked, and I just want to know when I will find love. I keep ending up with the wrong guy, and it doesn't last. Thank you. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So I guess the question is, when will I find love? Okay?
Yes.
Is that it? Is that about it? All right. Let me ask you a couple of questions before I turn you over to our readers. You had a reading in June, and was this about the love situation?
It was, I'm trying to remember, yes, it was. I was asking, when would I find someone, and I did talk to Ms. Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and they said, meet someone around October or November, around the harvest time, and I did meet someone. We ended up, you know, not talking.
Okay, so then you met that person, but now this one seems to be gone again. So what we're seeing here is a pattern, and you're identifying a pattern. May I ask how old you are?
Yes, I'm 29.
Oy. Okay, I'm not going to even bother channeling Professor Ames. I'm going to let someone else do that. And yes, ma'am. And I'm going to ask what sign of the zodiac you are as well.
I'm Aquarius.
Oy, okay. All right, we got the full moon in Aquarius. All right, honey. I'm going to turn this over to Ollie, and I'm sure he can take it away from there.
Yes, I'm more than happy to. I have a few cards here that are dealing specifically with what you can expect in regards to love, and then I'll have someone else talk about what you can do. The first card that we have here is the Ten of Pentacles. The Ten of Pentacles, in a love situation, this shows us an older individual at rest looking down or looking forward into a courtyard at the small Italian village at his descendants, and he's got two dogs with him. This tells me that you will have a legacy. You will end up finding love, and you will end up having descendants, but you should be aware that this may happen a little bit later in life. Okay, so it's not something that's immediate. Now, root work can help ameliorate this and speed this up, but as things stand, if you do nothing, you are going to end up, you will get married, you will find love, but it will be a little bit later. And that's not unusual. You're currently going through your Saturn return. That's going to last for, a little bit longer, a couple more years. You also are an Aquarius, which is a sign that is strongly influenced by Saturn, and they tend to, Saturn has a tendency to bring love a little bit later. Capricorns are another group of people that tend to find love a little bit later in life. That doesn't mean you're going to be an old woman, but it does mean that a little bit later in life is what you're looking at. The next card that we have here is the Knight of Wands. It shows us a stalwart and brave knight returning from a journey from the desert. He's got a staff in his hand. He's got salamanders on his tabard. This is a magical person, someone who knows the mysteries of the East. This is an indication that magical work should be done here, and perhaps with the aid of a root worker, someone who can come in and speed things up. This is a fire card, and it's a great way of speeding up the slow energy of the earth card that we see in the Ten of Pentacles. So outside root work, especially root work done with candles, root work that balances candles and lodestones or candles and some type of talismans, fire and earth, will be a great way of kind of speeding this process up and getting, the relationship to manifest a little bit faster. And then finally we have the Six of Cups in the future. You will find love. It will be, more than one type of love kind of appear before you. You'll have a few more instances of men coming into your life that are, more infatuations or short-term than they are long-term. So you're going to have to either filter them out or enjoy them for what they are. So be aware of that there is going to be love that comes up. We predicted love around, the holidays that showed up, but it didn't last. That pattern may repeat itself, so you might consider either breaking that pattern or riding the wave. Know that there are other guys that are going to appear that may be short-term, but the guy that is going to be the one for you, you'll know because he will give you a gift, and it will be a very meaningful gift from him to you. And when you receive that gift, you'll know this is the guy that's serious about commitment. This is the guy that's serious about being with you. So my cards do indicate that you don't have to be worried. Love is on its way. It may be a bit slow in coming, but root work can assist to speed that up, okay?
You're there? Oh, she's muted. All right, let's see what I can do about this. I'm going to take a look at it, and I'm going to just say a few things to back up what Ollie said, which is that the Saturn return is definitely affecting you. And it's interesting that you called right now while we're having this super full moon in Aquarius. But I'm going to say that I don't see that this is going to go on forever. The first card I have here is the Chariot. The Chariot is a person who moves forward but has prepared to move completely forward in life, has a chariot. They've crossed a river. They've left a little town, and they're ready to go forward. And they have two sphinxes to draw the chariot, a black one and a white one, a male and a female, sort of the the union of opposites, but they have no way to go forward because the sphinxes are not hooked up. They are not. There's no harnesses, no any kind of reins or anything to control them. So what this says is you've prepared, but the stars are not right. The chariot has a canopy of stars. This charioteer has a star on his head. The moons are used as epaulets, the signs of the zodiac. This does say to me that there is some astrological thing going on, that although you have made good progress toward having love in your life, there's still the stars are still against you a little bit. And I'm just going to say that that kind of goes along with your answer to my questions, but it just happens to be the card that came out too, kind of reaffirming that. Second card is the Ace of Cups. That's a card that shows hand of God holding a cup, and coming out of the cup are streams of water, and a dove is flying down into the cup with a host, which is about harmony and union. My cup runneth over, the water flows out of the cup. It's about many, many gifts of the Spirit. And the water flows into a calm pool with little water lilies, and as they say, out of the mud grows the lotus. So you're going to be all right. This will get straightened out, but you have to learn to accept your blessings, and because you're going to be blessed. But right now, it's been a little bit rough, but you are not doomed for life. You're very young still, and you will find the love that you want. And third card is another card that says to me something similar to what Ali was saying. It's a card called the Two of Swords, and it's a woman with a blindfold around her eyes, two swords in her hands and her arms crossed. She can't see her way forward yet. The time has come for some changes, but she can't see her way forward. So he mentioned getting a root worker to help you. I think it might be a good idea. Okay? Now I'm going to turn this over to Professor Porterfield, and he's going to give you some root work advice.
Well, hello. I have something I would like, a piece of work I would like to give you to do, and what you're going to need for this is you're going to need four things. I want you to acquire for yourself a red 7-day candle, attraction oil, some lovage root, all right? And this lovage root should be crumbled up. It should be kind of fine, all right? And a standard pack of playing cards. They can be bicycle or whoever, just a standard pack of regular old playing cards. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a dish, any dish will do, and you're going to open up this pack of cards, and you're going to go through it, and you're going to be taking out three cards out of it. We want the Ace of Hearts, the Queen of Hearts, and the King of Hearts. And what I want you to do is I want you to place the Ace of Hearts down onto that dish. Atop of that, you're going to place the King of Hearts. The King of Hearts is going to represent this new love that you want to have come into your life. Then atop of him, you're going to place the Queen of Hearts. On the Queen of Hearts, I want you to write your name and your birth date. We're not going to write anything on the King of Hearts because we want an open doorway. We're bringing a new lover in. We're not working on a specific person. Then atop those cards, you're going to place that 7-day red candle, which I want you to dress with attraction oil and lovage. You know, the lovage, what else call it, bohog root, okay? And you're just going to dress it with those two, and then you're going to light that and burn that for 7 days on top of those things. And I would like you to say the 23rd Psalm, because we can do anything with the 23rd Psalm. It's just a universal good psalm for us to use, and that will be helping you with all of those things that Conjure Man Ali and Kat have talked about. We're getting some attraction going there. We're getting some of that magnetic influence there, and we're using candles in the fire the way that that's been advised. And that's what I would like to see you do, and you follow through with that. And I believe that Kat and Ali are quite correct. You will see an alleviation of this as time goes on, and all those things will come to you. And God bless you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask a question. You mentioned a 7-day candle. Do you mean a vigil light or a double a 7-knob candle, or does it matter?
It does not matter. You can do it. You can do either one. If you're going to do a 7-knob candle, okay, then obviously you're going to burn it in pieces over 7 days. But also, you can
mm-hmm.
do this with a vigil candle, and that is specifically what I did mean is a vigil candle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Reason I ask, and I'm just going to throw this out here, is that the 7-day candles, when I was a kid, they used to call them novena candles, and they burned for 9 days. Then they cut down the size of the glass tube, and they cut down the kind of wax. They used a more oily wax that melted faster and burned faster and was cheaper. And then they called them 7-day vigil lights. But they were originally came out of the Catholic Church as novena candles for 9 days.
Yes.
And now, since the first Gulf War, they went down to 5 days, and they have never come back
again.
5 days,
that's right, yeah.
And so it's when you tell someone to do a 7-day spell with a vigil candle, they often go, it didn't work because it burned out in 5 days. So you cannot hardly buy a 7-day vigil light anymore. So when someone says, burn this over 7 days, I give them this option. I say, burn a vigil light. As long as you want. If it goes out, it's out. If you burn a 7-knob candle, you actually have a better chance of controlling your burn to 7 days. Or 7 6-inch candles or 7 4-inch candles. And those will burn out more fast, but you can burn one every day. Just a piece of commentary from me. How to make an old-fashioned spell that burns for 7 days, what to do now that the vigil lights have been corrupted, and that's the word I use. They've just been corrupted. They made the tubes narrower and narrower, and there is no longer any vigil light in America that will burn for 7 days that I know of.
And all very right. important advice. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that one. And let's go on to our third client.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Cat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com. And this week's very special guest, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phone and take our next client. And our next client is calling back in from area code 347. This is Dale in New York City. Dale, are you there? Call us.
Yes, hi. How are you guys?
I'm great. Welcome back. I'm going to go ahead and remind our host that you did call in December of 2013, and from what I can see here, that you it indicates that you may or may not be a client of Miss Cat or Conjurman Ali because there's a yes, no, and then there's a no, not yet. But that's okay, and all good, and here we go. My children and I desire to leave the state for a fresh start after overcoming some difficulties. Their father strongly opposes and uses his contacts with the legal system to intimidate and impede. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, this is going to go to Professor Porterfield, but I will ask a couple of quick questions before that. How many children?
Two.
Two. And how old are the children?
11 and 10.
Okay. And may I ask the father who opposes this, may I ask what sign of the zodiac he is?
Sagittarius.
And what sign are you?
Capricorn.
Okay. That's pretty clear. And so Capricorns tend to be very orderly in their thinking. I'm going to turn you over to Professor Porterfield, one of our better-known Capricorns.
Aww.
Yes, thank you very much. Now, let me ask you, because I apologize, I'm a little confused. Are you looking for some advice about this, or are you looking for us to read on this for you?
I need help. I have a court case coming up on Tuesday, and
okay.
the children and I would like to leave. We're actually coming near you. We're trying to move to Pilot Point, Texas.
That is actually very near me.
Yes, we're trying
that
to move to Pilot
very,
Point.
That is very, very near.
I know, it's so funny. We're trying to move on the 27th of this month, and I have a court case coming up on Tuesday where he's trying to oppose it.
All right. Do you happen to know the name of the judge that this will be heard before?
Yes, I do, and I did research on him, and he is a judge that favors fathers.
All right. Then here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to do the following, all right? You're going to get a bay leaf, okay? And you're going to have to get something that writes very, very fine, and I want you to write the names of the 12 apostles on that bay leaf, okay? Just take your time. Be very careful with it, you know, because it's a bay leaf. It'll be a little fragile, but you just take your time and you write out the name of all 12 apostles on that bay leaf, and you're going to take that and you're going to put that into, it's interesting that you called today, you're going to put that into your right okay?
That's right.
It's going to go into your right shoe, okay? Then you're going to take, okay, the name of the judge, and you're going to write out the name of the judge on a piece of paper, unless you have a business card for the judge. If you do, even better. But if you don't, just take yourself a piece of paper. I would recommend just getting a piece of regular brown paper like you'd use from a paper bag. Just tear out a square of it. Write the judge's name. You're going to take that, and you're going to put that in your left shoe.
Okay?
Now, then you're going to go to court. You're going to have the name of the apostles in your left shoe. You're going to have the name of
right
the judge. I'm sorry, right shoe. You're correct. I'm standing here looking at myself down from so I went back. You're going to have the name of the judge in the other shoe. That's because you've got your foot on him now. You see?
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Before you walk into that courtroom, you're going to take a moment, all right? You're going to take a moment, and you're going to say the two following psalms. You're going to say the 23rd psalm, and you're going to say the 91st psalm, okay? And then you go into court, and what will happen is, do not be surprised if the judge delays the case or sets it aside till a later date. But if he does, you do the same thing again, and you will win.
Okay.
But that's, just take it, it's going to be difficult to write those names out on a bay leaf, all right? But you can get a bay leaf at the grocery store, put them in your feet. Again, we're going to be in your shoes. You're going to have your feet on him, have your foot on that judge, all right?
That
is my advice to you in this matter.
Thank you.
I hope to see you in Pilot Point soon.
I hope so, too. I will call you. I will call you and let you know I made it. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're welcome.
Well, and I was just going to say one more thing. It's too bad it's in Tuesday, but if you had a little more time, you could have sent him some little things of your children and yourself, just a hair or something like that. And I'm going to tell you this. He could have taken those to Pilot Point, and Pilot Point, that means a navigational point, usually in our geography of our nation. And he could have actually told you in to Pilot Point because he does live that close to it. But you don't have enough time for that, but think about it. All right, let's turn it over to Ali.
You know, I would recommend, I love Professor Porterfield's advice. I think it's excellent. I also would suggest doing work specifically at stopping your husband's ability to influence this case, specifically his tongue. I did do a really brief a geomantic reading, and I'm not going to go over it. I just want to say chances of you succeeding are good, and I do see a chance for moving. So there is good news here. What I would want you to do is I want you to take a photo of your husband, and I want you to write his name on the back and with his date of birth and everything, and I want you to cross that up with your command, okay? And you're going to say, you have no power, 3 times. Then you're going to turn it over, and you're going to look at the photo itself. You're going to take a big black marker, and you're going to put little crosses, like you're sewing up his mouth, all across his mouth, okay? So you've sewed his mouth out, you've shut it up. And you're going to put 2 crosses, one over each eye, so that you shut his eyes and you shut his mouth. This is to keep him from having any influence in this case or for being, you know, being able to do anything to harm your chances here. And you're going to take aluminum foil. You're going to take a paper towel, and you're going to place that down and place that on top of the aluminum foil, and you're going to place the photo on top of the paper towel. You're going to take some lemons, and you're going to squeeze those lemons on top of the photo, get it nice and soaked. Then I want you to take some alum, which will pucker up his mouth, and you're going to sprinkle it all over him, and you're going to sprinkle that alum. I want you to get some salt, and I want you to pray over that salt, asking it to hamper all his influence, hamper all his attempts, and you're going to pour it over him. And then I want you to take some black peppers, and you're going to sprinkle that all over, and finally some poppy seeds to confuse him up. You're going to fold this ever so carefully, making a packet out of the aluminum foil, and you're going to stick this in the freezer as you pray with all your heart that his power is frozen, that his tongue is tied, and that he is unable to work against you anymore, and all his influence is removed. And you're going to completely forget about it as you go on and do your work that Professor Porterfield recommended and go to the court case. You do that so that you remove his ability, because this is a guy looking from the geomantic reading who's got some sway, all right? And he's got enough sway that he can cause a bit of an issue. So you want to stop him from being able to cause that issue, all right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Those are really good ones. All right. I'm going to give you some more ideas. Again, we got you got a time limit here, so you may have some trouble getting some of these things, but I'm going to give you some ideas that might work for people who have a farther out date. It's traditional when going into a court case to also be chewing on something. It's sometimes called chewing the root, and it sometimes people will chew on seeds. The 2 most common things used for court cases or court case root, otherwise known as chewing john, otherwise known as brown ginger or galangal, and there's a lot of other names for it too. It is a member of the ginger family that is, instead of being a pale ivory color like white ginger, it's a chestnut or a sorrel color. It's actually sort of a sorrel color, and it's also very hot and spicy. It is spicier than ginger when it's dried. It's really spicy. And you can boil it up in sugar water to make a sort of a candied, reconstituted version of it, which is a little more tolerable. And you're going to chew on this. And some people will, in the old days, they would spit the chaw out and hope the judge would walk in it, which is another one of these foot track spells where the judge is going to actually step in it. Some people will go around the courthouse. If it's a small town, judge has to come in through one door or another, you know where all the doors are, and spit a little of that court case root so the judge has to step in it as he comes in. But nowadays, if people see you spit, they're going to, you know, it's sometimes frowned upon. But the idea is that you can work that way. Some people will say, well, I don't want to chew on it. I'll take the galangal powder and spread it around. You can do that. Chewing is traditional, very traditional. Another way to thing to chew, and people do, is malagueta peppers, otherwise known as grains of paradise. And again, that is something that that people will chew on spit the chaw. But with malagueta peppers, they're very hot and spicy. Now, they're called peppers. They're neither black pepper nor are they red pepper. They are actually not peppers at all. They're other members of the ginger family, just like the brown ginger. So they have a gingery taste to them, and people will take five of them or seven of them, whatever it is that whatever it is they want, and they will chew them, break them, crack them, and hold them under their tongues, or sometimes hold them whole under their tongues. Different people have different traditions regarding it, but the thing with those is you generally hold them under your tongue, not so much spitting, but holding it under your tongue. Okay? In the chat room, Dia Job says, Kat wasn't lying about it being spicy. I was dying, but it worked. It was hard to spit it. Yeah. And she also, or Dee, also said, easy for men because they can just bend and fuss with their shoes. I've had people to do, like, just like, I want to just sort of, like, scratch your lip or something like that. You just get a little bit and put it under your shoe and then walk. And so you're actually tracking it on the floor. Same thing. Okay, there's many, many ways to be discreet and subtle about these. So either malagueta peppers, which is grains of paradise, or court case root. Those are the things that I recommend you work with when you're in court. Now, you may not be able to get those. So what are you going to be able to get? Well, at least you can get ginger, because I explained to you these were related to ginger. Now, usually in hoodoo, ginger is used for heating things up, for getting people more excited and getting things going. But still, I would say, in a pinch, if you have nothing else, I would do that. Use just a regular old ginger powder, and you probably can find it locally where you are. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
One of the reasons we do this, by the way, is that if you can hold the spice in your mouth and not be burned and you can endure it, it's the theory here is that God knows you're telling the truth. You're,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You speak
right.
No lie. And
okay.
And of course, poppy seeds, which Conjurer Ali mentioned, are used to confuse people. They are the basis of opium, and or the poppy juice is. And so the idea here is the poppy seeds, and why he wanted the poppy seeds in that packet is to confuse the hell out of him. And so another thing you can do, and I've seen people do this around a court case, get some poppy seeds. And if you know where he parks his car, scatter poppy seeds all around his car, at least he's going to have to track in them, you see, when he goes back to his car. Confuse him up.
Okay.
All righty? All right.
Okay.
Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you
Those
so much.
Great.
And, yeah.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, let's turn
God
this over to Tammy Lee. Our free spell is coming up next, and Professor Porterfield, we'll see you when you get to Pilot Point.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, we have about 8 minutes left in today's show. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each week by Conjurer Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And now we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Professor Porterfield, ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for our free spell session. Professor Porterfield, sir.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Well, you know, we talk a lot on the show about dealing with enemies, and we talk about getting rid of them, shutting them up, shutting them down, tying them up, and leaving them in the dust. But today I'm going to give you one to calm down an enemy. Sometimes we end up with enemies that we don't want them to be enemies, or we're regretful that they're enemies, and we want to calm them down. We don't want to get rid of them. We just want it to go a little better. So here's what you're going to do. First and foremost, what you're going to do is get yourself a piece of paper, and on that paper you're going to write out the names of the apostles. Where have we heard that before? And below the names of the apostles, you are going to write out Matthew 5:44, which is, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And then below that you will write the name of the person that is angry with you. Fold up the paper, put it into your shoe while saying Psalm 34:14, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Then you will put your foot into your shoe firmly and step down, calling on the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and wear it in your shoe. And that will conquer them under the teachings and peace of Jesus Christ and bring them down easy back to you. There you go.
Wow. Wow. And so you step into your shoe, you're stepping on their heads, basically.
That's right.
But you're bringing them under the control of the Lord, and that's a really great way to work. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Love
it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something, Professor Porterfield. You're a man of many talents, and and you know, I have to say that foot track work and work of this kind is so multifarious. We probably, again, I've said before, we could do a whole other show on this. I have to throw one more in, just as another little free spell, just real quick, because I got a minute here.
Yes, please.
This is what I loved is to take the foot track dirt of the chief of police. Now, you got to get that foot track dirt of the chief of police of your town. That's just what I'm just going to say. And you put that in front of your doorstep, and you take a rabbit's foot, or you can take anything, but a rabbit's foot was what I was taught, and you draw an X in that foot track dirt, and that's to X out the laws. That's to keep the, take the, it's like the Passover, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, if you exactly
do,
what
you mean. If you do something in that house that you would not want the laws to come in, the chief of police trumps them, because it's a chief of police foot track
that's
dirt.
That's right.
And you exit out with the rabbit's foot. I'm lucky, and they won't come in. It's an old law, stay away. Now, I've heard people also say use graveyard dirt, but I was taught, but first I was taught foot track dirt of the chief of police. I lived in a little town, Berkeley, and at the police station there, there was a great lawn all around it. There was a little parking lot where they had all the cars. It's a small town, you know. And I'd sit around and think, how am I going to get the chief of police this foot track dirt? But I studied on it, and I was able to get, well, some policemen's foot track dirt, and I did it that way, by using that same trick I mentioned, which was to sprinkle a little of the dirt up onto the asphalt where their cars were, as if, hey, you know, the guy with the lawnmower hit a rock and the dirt just sort of sprayed, you know. Worked just fine for me. It worked really well. Yeah. All right.
I was just mentioning in the chat room real briefly that it's funny that I've actually done the exact opposite. I've used police foot track dirt to draw attention of the police to someone who I was doing some illegal activity, and I needed them to get caught. So it's funny how you can also flip that a little bit.
How did you use the foot track dirt to draw? Did you draw an arrow to their house or something?
What I did is this is in my youth. I was quite eager and a little bit more aggressive in my work, I'll say. There was a neighborhood in Virginia. This was in Springfield, Virginia. And there was a whole row of houses that were bought out by gangs, and they were drug dealing. And there were kids in this neighborhood. It was an apartment complex, and I needed to get rid of all of them. And so in my more aggressive moves, I mix it with hot foot powder and damnation, like some type of damnation. This was handmade. And I sprinkled it, and I had this big old bucket of it. I sprinkled it all along the sidewalk. And within a month, they had a police raid, and they were all gone.
Hey, cool. All right. All right, well, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee. This was a great show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you so much, Professor Porterfield. ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConcert.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for being our guest. It was great.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we'll always love to have you around. And thank you, Conjurman Ali. It was wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Yep. And I want to give a special thank to Miss Tammy Lee. And
thank
to
you.
Nagashiva for running the board. You guys did good. And our guest, you brought us some really interesting problems to solve this time. And all the folks in the chat room, I want to thank you all, too. Can't have time to call everybody out. Yes?
And Mississippi Tom Shalala.
Yes.
Oh, and I want to thank both Mississippi Tom Shalala and the Ghost of Candelo. Yeah, Candelo was spirit channeled by Mississippi Tom Shalala, courtesy of Professor Porcio. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.